been in the Gideon ministry for a long time together. He comes from Fredericktown, but he comes up to Morrow County for all of our meetings and meets with us all the time, and so he's a blessed brother. He's been on the state level for quite a long time and done a lot of things for the Gideon ministry, and I'm sure he'll have some good things to say to us this morning about sharing the Word of God around the world. Brother Dan.
I have no interest in religion, don't want a minister, and definitely no Bible in my room. Clarence was 78 years of age, and he was in a nursing home with terminal cancer. One could hear and see that he was very withdrawn and negative about just everything. Nurse Joanne welcomed Clarence and showed him around the nursing home. She told him there was a Bible in the nightstand, and the pastor would come and visit him if he so desired. At that, Clarence replied, "I have no interest in religion, don't want a minister, and definitely no Bible in my room." As the disease progressed, Clarence developed a lot of pain and started having a lot of sleepless nights. One night, Joanne peeked in his room. Sure enough, he had God's Holy Word open, and he was reading. And she stuck her head and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Yes, I certainly do." Excited, Clarence told Joanne, "Well, I've been reading, and what I've been reading, I believe. I need to be saved and baptized. Can you help me?" Little to Clarence's knowledge, Joanne's husband was a pastor. So he came in, and the pastor thought he was going to share the plan of salvation with Clarence. And instead, Clarence started telling the pastor about the plan of salvation, everything he'd been reading. Then the pastor led him to a prayer of forgiveness. They found a wash tub, and they did a makeshift baptism after Clarence prayed to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. That night was the first night that Clarence slept night through peaceful. 2 days later, Clarence went home to be with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Norma, an auxiliary here in Ohio, walked into a restaurant, and the waitress said, "You remember me?" Norma looks there and says, "Well, you kind of look familiar." And then the waitress said, "2 years ago, you gave me a little New Testament just like this. You showed me the helps in the front, and then you showed me the plan of salvation in the back. You and I sat here in this very restaurant, and you led me in the sinner's prayer. We rejoiced together." But she says, "I'll never forget what you said to me that day." She said, "When you left, 'See you in heaven,' I felt so much love and peace that night." As a result, the woman started reading God's Word. Soon, her husband and kids were attending a church, and the entire family came to know Jesus Christ just because of the testimony of one auxiliary member and one little New Testament. The waitress said, "Because of you, my whole family is in church. Because of you, we are all believers. Thank you." We have an auxiliary member, dear friend of ours, lives in Columbus. And since COVID-19, stop and think about this, ever since COVID-19, she personally has handed out over 250 New Testaments. And if you know anything about Julia, she just doesn't end it out. She usually has a word of testimony. She finds the craziest things to just talk to people about. Obviously, she's very outgoing. The Gideons are best known for our distributions in hotels and motels. But did you know that we Gideons also distribute scriptures to armed service personnel? We also give them to inmates in correctional institutions and prisons. We go to colleges and universities where we hand the New Testaments to students. We go to the police, fire an EMT personnel. We place Bibles in attorneys' offices, and we also distribute at county and state fairs. The Gideons have one and only one purpose, and that's to win men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Just like Julia, we go into the traffic lanes of life. We seek people out. We Gideons are blessed to share this ministry with our wives. We call them the auxiliary. And the auxiliary support we Gideons in prayer. In addition, they also hand out scriptures to people in the medical field, as well as participate in state and county fairs. Currently, we Gideons serve in over 200 countries. Last year, we handed out over 65 million scriptures, almost 66 million scriptures last year, and they're distributed in 108 different languages. How are we able to accomplish such a large feat? Because we have Gideons in those countries. We have men, Christian professional men, dedicated to personal witnessing and scripture distribution. They already speak the language. They already know the local customs. They already know the local geography. When you support the Gideons, you are actually extending the missionary arm of your local church into 200 countries around the world. This morning, I hope that you have begun to envision how God is changing lives through the ministry of the Gideons International. I want to thank you, and I want to thank your church for your participation in this ministry this past year. And yet, we ask for your continued support. First, we come asking for your continued prayer support. Pray for the recipient of God's Word. Pray that as they open God's Word, that they will hear and sense Him speaking to them. Pray that they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is Gideons and Auxiliary. That's our hope and prayer as we hand out each scripture. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Second, we're always looking for Christian business and professional men willing to serve God through scripture distribution and personal witnessing. If you have a desire this morning to serve God through scripture distribution, we'd like to talk to you later after the service. And then third, we ask for your continued financial support. 100% of all funds given to the Gideons goes for the purchase and distribution of scriptures. The operating expenses of our ministry are funded through our annual dues, which we Gideons assume personally. Another means to participate in providing scriptures for the world is the Gideon Card Program. On the left-hand side, just before you go out the door, there's a rack and it has some nice-looking cards in it. And you can send somebody thinking of you card or in recognition card or praying for you. If you know somebody going through a tough time, take one of those cards. Purchase a couple Bibles in their honor, or else if they've accomplished something, you know, if they've hit a milestone in their life, maybe got a new promotion, honor them and let them know that you recognize them and purchase a couple scriptures. Those scriptures will go somewhere around the world. When my father passed, we asked that donations be made to the Gideons. So I made it a point to call my mom for 2 weeks, every day for 2 weeks, to see how she was doing, to try and encourage her. And it got to the point where she wouldn't say, "Hello, how you doing?" It's like, "Guess how many scriptures we have? Guess how many scriptures we're up to?" Les, I think we got over 200 scriptures for my dad's passing. And I know that those scriptures are still reaping benefits today. As people are saved and as people reach out and other people come to know Christ through those distributed scriptures, His witness continues. I know my brother passed this past October. Here again, we sent a new memory card to honor him and also to spread God's word throughout the world. Quite often, these giving cards purchase Bibles that go somewhere around the world, someplace that we normally wouldn't go or couldn't go. And therefore, you're extending, this is another way to extend the missionary arm of your church, because we are fulfilling the Great Commission by sending His Word. You can learn more about the Gideons and Gideon cards if you visit our website, www.gideons.org. There you'll find testimonies about how God is changing lives. And they also have some information on how you can be a friend of the Gideon. If you're interested in being a friend of the Gideons, they've got some links that you can go and you can also make donations online. The website's expanding, continually expanding. And I want to talk about another feature that they have a little bit later. It has to do with our cell phones. What we in America need to understand is that many people around the world do not have the means to purchase a scripture. They don't need, for $1.20, we can actually produce a little scripture like this and distribute it somewhere around the world. Now, we go to school, we have books, we have paper, we don't think anything about it. In many countries, they don't have books, they don't have paper. And $1.20, that's a lot of money. And they usually would spend $1.20 on food or other means rather than God's holy word. So for $1.20, we can send a scripture somewhere around the world, and it changes lives. Lives like we've heard changed this morning. The relationship between the Gideons and the church is very important. Your prayers and your offerings make a difference, especially to that one that receives a copy of God's holy word. The Gideons went to a school in Ethiopia, and it was way out of the way, and they handed out a few scriptures. But on that particular day, five people raised their hands to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Gideons were trying to find a church that would send a minister to minister to these five new Christians. A month later, when they returned, not only did they find five, but they found 14 new believers. The Gideons were amazed at how God's word was working in this little community. So they finally found a church that would send a pastor to minister to them. And about another month later, that 14 had grown to 20. 6 months later, that 20 had turned into 41, just because of the faithfulness of the men and women of this ministry to distribute God's word. 4 years later, the Gideons went back to see how that church was doing. They had 165 members. Kind of reminds me of that parable about sowing the seed. The Gideons were faithful in sowing the seed, but God gave the increase, 30, 60, and sometimes 100-fold. And for that, we praise the Lord this morning. There was a gentleman by the name of Brant Lindsay. He said he had the world going his way. Everything was going his way. Earlier in life, he married a sweetheart at age 19. They had two sons. And Brant had taken a job as a construction worker, and he was working out of town. While he was out of town, he met somebody that he knew in high school, and she was going through a very difficult time. Says that they were talking, and then next thing you know, they were going to dinner and ended up in an affair. He went home to tell his wife about the affair, and also they wanted a divorce. It broke her heart. She broke out crying, and Brant saw the pain and agony that he had just thrust upon his wife. So then his wife told their sons that they too were distraught, and he saw the pain and agony he was bringing on his family, and he realized, or he said within himself, I am not worthy of my wife. I am not worthy of such a good family as this. So he thought his only way out would be suicide. So he goes in the bedroom and he gets his gun. He thinks to himself, I'll just take my life right here. He thought, I can't do that with my sons and my wife in the house. So he puts the gun in his pocket. His family doesn't know he's got the gun in his pocket, but he puts the gun in his pocket and starts to go outside. And all of a sudden, he sees the mailman. They've been living in that neighborhood for 15 years. Now, that mailman never stopped. He never talked to them. The mailman pulls up in the driveway, and he says, hey, you got a minute? I want to talk to you. Brad's like, well, I'm busy, but okay, I got a minute. The guy says, I want you to come to church with me on Sunday. I want you to come. He goes, all right, yeah, okay, maybe. We'll see. All right. But the mailman wouldn't be brushed off that easy. The mailman started pleading, will you come to church? No, I mean it. Will you come to church with me tomorrow? Then the mailman started, I'm begging you, come to church with me tomorrow. Little did he know that Brant was at the end of his wits. He had a gun in his pocket, and he was about ready to do something drastic. Brant says he went to church. Well, he went back in the house. He told his wife, we're going to church tomorrow. They went to church that Sunday, and they went to church the next three Sundays. At the end of the fourth Sunday, they read John 3:16. I think we all know that verse well. And Brant said that he had his hands on the pew in front of him. He had a death grip on his knuckles were white. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit was on his life, convicting him of his sins. And yet, Brant wouldn't give it up. He wouldn't confess his sins. He wouldn't step forward to an altar and pray. The next day, on Monday, he went out of town, back to this construction job. And he says that night, at the hotel room, he was restless. He just could not get settled. He tried watching TV, but it just wouldn't satisfy. He took several walks. It just would not satisfy. Then he heard something within him say, Brant, there is a Bible in the nightstand. I want you to go and get it. Sure enough, he pulled open the top drawer of the nightstand. There was a Gideon-laced Bible. Brant told the Lord he didn't know even where to begin to read. And Brant says, it just felt like somebody said, just start reading anywhere. It doesn't matter. So he reads Luke 8:22-25, where Jesus calms the storm. Brant says it felt like the Lord just said to him, Brant, if I could calm the storm, I could calm the storms in your life. At that moment, he fell prostrate on the bed, and he cried out to Jesus Christ for mercy and help in his life. He says Jesus Christ came into his heart and his life in that hotel room because of that medium place Bible. I think you can guess the rest of the story. He returned home. Their family started attending church, and now they're good churchmen today. You know, this COVID-19's kind of mixed things up. These masks, I'm so tired of these masks like stars. I have to wear one every day, almost all day long. And a lot of people aren't in public. We're not assembling like we used to. And there was a Gideon by the name of Keith from Texas, and he said on this particular morning he prayed, Lord, send me someone that I can witness to today. Please open that door. You know, it's been a long time, and he's praying. I don't know if things will ever return back to normal. Later that day, he was on the phone with a lady in customer service, and the lady said, how are you carrying on during COVID-19? Keith just said, it's hard. It's tough. But we carry on as normal as we can, trusting God to keep us safe. The lady on the other end of the phone, her name was not Natasha. And she told Ken about all the fears that she had experienced. She had two little ones at home, and she told about the trouble, about the distress in her mind, about trying to keep her family safe, and keeping some type of normality in their home. Natasha was in search of rest and peace that the world couldn't offer her. She said, I'm doing my best, but it doesn't work. Gently, Ken said, it never does work. Ken then explained the hope of the gospel to her, that there is only one place to find hope, that is in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He told Natasha that she could live and walk with Jesus if she wanted to. Do you want to do that, Natasha? And she said, yes. She said, this isn't something I want. This is something I need. Natasha prayed to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior. Ken says one could only feel the presence of the Holy Spirit through the phone. And Natasha said, I don't know how to explain it, but when I prayed those words, something came into my heart. I could actually feel him. She said, is that crazy? And Ken said, no, not at all. That is just the beginning of your experiencing God's amazing power. Two guys were out deer hunting. Oh boy, where's this one going to go? Two guys were out deer hunting. Stanley and his buddy Wayne down in West Virginia. So, first day, they take a doe, a 7-point buck, by 8 o'clock. So they take it to the processor. So, Stanley was inside the place of business, and he started witnessing to the owner's wife. And he asked her if she knew Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She said, not really. And he asked, do you know that God loves you? And she said, very reluctantly, very hesitantly, I think so. Then she expressed that she feared she wasn't good enough for Jesus to accept her as she was. Stanley explained that she couldn't earn her way to heaven. There's nothing she could do that would make God love her more or love her less. And she said, she asked, but what if I accept Christ and mess up again? Then what? Stanley assured her that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and that she would now have a new desire in her heart to serve Christ. Then he read aloud the prayer that we have, the sinner's prayer in the back of the book. She repeated, accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. When his buddy Wayne came back in, Stanley says, hey, I want you to meet a new sister in Christ. Well, Wayne had been busy too. When he went outside to help the guy take the deer out of the, this young guy take the deer out of the back of the truck. He'd been witnessing to this young man, RJ, and he asked RJ if he'd ever invited Christ into his life. When RJ said no, Wayne asked him if he'd like to do it right there. And Wayne led RJ in the sinner's prayer using that little New Testament. Reza was a Gideon from Tennessee. And he'd just gotten back from a business trip, and he dropped his car off at the rental company. So he calls Uber. He needs a ride home. It's a 12-minute ride home. He's been away on business. And so he's going to take these next 12 minutes. He's going to read his emails. And he's going to get caught up. So as the Uber driver and he are driving down the road, the Uber driver starts talking. Sooner or later, the conversation gets around to the Gideons and the scripture distribution. And the driver shared that he was actually from Nepal, and that he had been in America for the last 4 years, and he was trying to decide if he was going to follow his customary religion or seek out a new one. So they got to Reza's house, and Reza offered to pray for the man. Reza shared the gospel, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, he was able to lead the man our Lord Jesus Christ, and tell him the importance of finding a church, a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. What Reza thought was just going to be a 12-minute quick ride actually turned into a life-changing gospel conversation. You know, we actually live in a different time. I know I'm getting a little exasperated, a little frustrated with the guys on the site. You know, we always talk about giving your employer a good 8 hours worth of work for 8 hours of pay. And yeah, I'm starting to see this more and more on the job. It's like, hey, guys, can you put your phone down and do some work here? But Gideons are taking advantage of that technology. And they have a Gideon Bible app. The app is free and functions much like our testaments, only it's on your phone. And the app includes the decision section that outlines what it means to be a Christian. It also gives the plan of salvation. And it also talks about the helps, just in case you're worried or you're experiencing a lot of stress. And it guides readers to the various verses to address those situations in their lives. Listen to this. This is kind of an astounding stat. This app is in 1,350 different languages. An app on your phone. 1,350 different languages. So these people who have this app on their phone, and believe me, people in foreign countries have a lot of phones, they can hear, they can read and hear God's word in their own language. This testimony comes from somebody in Cameroon. And somebody had shared with him this app. And he couldn't believe it. He goes, Yuba, that's my language. And he was so excited because he could download that app onto his phone. Come to find out, he couldn't read or write. But because the Bible was an audio version, he could listen to it on his phone. He was so excited about it. He goes, now I can share this not only with my community, with the people in my village, but I can share with my mom. My own mother cannot read or write, but she can listen to it on the phone. You know, we look around us and we know that the world is looking for answers. They're looking for hope. They're looking for some type of assurance. And they can find that type of hope. They can find that type of answers and assurance in God's holy word. They can find it through that app on their cell phone by reading and hearing God's word. That little app makes it easily accessible for millions of people around the world. This app can be shared with others, regardless of how far apart we are. We still have the opportunity to share the gospel. I think a lot of times those opportunities are right in front of us and we don't realize it. I know I'm on a fairly large job right now and I've got another superintendent working with me. The gentleman's about 40, well, he's not about, he's 47 years old. And he's going through a lot of stress, a lot of difficulty in his life. His house burned down. He and his wife are talking about divorce and just going through that. He's having trouble seeing his sons because the wife is standing in the way. It's all negative. And so around the Christmas holidays, I gave everybody on my staff to get a New Testament. I gave one to Jeremy. Jeremy said, thanks. That's the only Christmas present I got this year. I sat in my office and prayed. No, I sat in my office and I cried. Something as simple as this little New Testament was the only gift that somebody that I like what an influence for Christ. That's the only gift he got that year for Christmas. They're all around us. People are looking for hope, especially during this COVID-19. We all know the world is lost and hurting. and this COVID-19 pandemic has led to an economic and humanitarian crisis around the globe. But people of the world still need a savior. Many millions of people would be converted if only given a chance. The need to supply more scriptures is still great today. Currently, for every 3 outstretched hands, we're able to fill 2, and yet 1 goes away disappointed and empty. You continue to assist us as we endeavor to provide hope to a lost and dying world and to every outstretched hand.